Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, he is. Woo. If you can turn to Luke chapter number 2 tonight, boy, I'm telling you, my heart's just full. I get so much bad news as a pastor, and I guess that's part of my job, but it's a part of my job I don't like. I don't like hearing tragedy, and I don't like hearing heartache. And it's good to come in a service like this and just hear people brag on what God's done and what God's doing in their life. Amen? Gives me courage, man. Makes me want to keep doing what we're doing and just keep loving you. Amen? And I appreciate it. You just don't know how much. Y'all hear me over and over and over again. It's good to hear from you every now and then. I'll tell you what God's doing and what God can do and what he will do, but I love to hear you tell us about what he's done, amen? We get enough of this pray for me, you know, and that's not wrong to do, but it sure is good to hear about God answering prayer, amen? Luke chapter number 2 tonight, just going to give you a simple little thought tonight, and we'll go to the house or whatever. Suit me, just go ahead and break out the watch night service right here, man. This is good. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place, amen? Hey, before we read the scripture tonight, I did not think to put it on the prayer sheet, but I would appreciate it if you would pray for a dear preacher friend of mine. He's been here and preached, Brother Buddy Blanco. Me and Brother Buddy preached together in several places throughout the year, and we're usually together at least a couple of times a year in Ohio, and then we're together in Connecticut. I've known Brother Buddy about as long as I've been preaching. He's an evangelist. He taught Levi in school. He taught music there at Champion, and he's back in full-time evangelism now. I'm not 100% sure what happened, whether he had a heart attack or a stroke, but just a couple of days ago, he was in a comatose state and got a text from somebody forwarded me a text this afternoon from his daughter and said that he was alert and awake and smiling, still not able to speak, but he's smiling at his family and he knows who they are. So you pray for Buddy Blanco, man. He's a man of God. He preached here, I'll never forget it. He preached about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Y'all, anybody remember that? It was a blessing, boy. I love Brother Buddy, but y'all pray for his family, okay? Luke chapter number 2 tonight, and I'm just going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth in Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, I love these next two words, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this evening, we thank you, God, for a good day. Lord, as far as the calendar goes, I, I don't know what day you were born on, but God, I do know this. You were born. And Lord God, we glorify your name for it tonight. Lord, we just stand here a sinner. Lord, it ought to be in hell. But God, because you came, Lord, we've known your grace. Lord, we've known your mercy. We've known your love. And God, if we stood here tonight and said thank you 10 million times, it wouldn't even scratch the surface. God, we just want to bless your holy name. Lord, Father, thank you for the Son. Thank you for the Savior. Oh, Lord, tonight. God, bless the reading of your word, God, and just illuminate our minds. Help us to be a blessing to our people. But God, most of all, get honor and glory and out of our lives. Just like Brother Rusty said, even when things don't look good around us, God, things will always be good in us because you live within us. God, help us to always, always be thankful and mindful of your mercy and your grace. Bless our time together, Lord, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. Lord, be with Buddy tonight. Lord, be with his family as they're praying, God, that daddy and husband will recover. God, I just pray you'd touch him. Now, Lord, once again, God, thank you for these testimonies. They have blessed my heart beyond measure tonight. And Lord God, we do love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so full, I'm about to buzz, man. It's okay to get that way every now and then, ain't it? The angel said, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Just for a few minutes tonight, I want to talk to you about what they found in the manger. What they found in a manger. I've been to hospital after hospital when babies were born. Most of these little kids in here, I was at the hospital visiting shortly after they were born. And usually you walk in that room, and if mama's not holding them, they're laying in that plexiglass little, y'all know what I'm talking about, the little, oh, somebody help me, what would you call that? Not an incubator, a bassinet, or whatever they put the babies in the hospital, that thing, that little clear baby bed. And I go over there, and every time that I've looked over in one of those things, this is what I've saw. One of two things, a baby boy or a baby girl. Nothing more, nothing less. Would you agree to that? I remember when most of these children were born, I remember when Andrew was born, and we checked to see if they had a return policy, but they were stuck with what they got, amen? And I looked over in that bassinet, and there was just a baby boy. That's all it was just a baby. But I thought about these shepherds, and I thought about these wise men when they followed the star, and they came to where Jesus lay, and what they saw laying in that manger was so much more than just a baby. Would you agree with me? He was a baby. There's no doubt about it. He was born just like any other baby is ever born. Mother had to go through the travail of labor and the pains, and he entered this world just like any other man. But he came into this world unlike any other man in the fact that he was God in the flesh. Amen. Can you imagine the look on the faces? I thought about the wise men, and I thought about the shepherds. I know the wise men were educated men. Amen. I'm sure they'd heard the prophecy. I'm sure they knew the Old Testament. I'm sure they knew the writings of Isaiah. And I'm sure they had read Isaiah 53. And I'm sure they had read Isaiah chapter number 9. And I'm sure they were aware of the fact that one day Messiah would come. One day there would be a Redeemer to come and redeem Israel, the children of Israel, back to God. They'd heard about it. They had thought about it. But can you imagine as they made that journey and they looked over in that bassinet and there was the answer. There was the Messiah. If you ever wondered, will I ever see Jesus in my day? I'm talking about the rapture of the church. Will I die before the rapture or will I see Jesus? I've heard about the rapture all my life. All my life since I was a little bitty boy, I've heard about a trumpet that's going to sound and how that the dead in Christ are going to rise first and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I've heard that, Brother Charles, since I was a little bitty boy and I've often wondered, will I live to see that day? Will I be part of that we which are alive and remain? Listen, 400 years have gone by since God has spoken. There has been 400 silent years, not a word from heaven, not a word from God, and now hell, lo and behold, out of the sky comes an angel and says, hey, you're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Hey, guess what? You live to see it. He's here. Follow that star and it'll take you to where the baby is. And I just imagine their hearts and the way they felt when they looked over in that manger and there they saw the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Levi sang a while ago, I see a lamb. I see a lamb. I just imagine those wise men poking one another and going, there he is. That's him. That's the one Isaiah talked about. That's the one the prophets wrote about. That's the one we've studied and that's the one we've read about. That's him laying right there in that manger. That is God in the flesh. That's our Messiah. Amen. That's our answer. Amen. I thought about the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night and how they followed that star to where baby Jesus lay. No doubt they had heard about him. You know, there's a whole lot of folks heard about him, but there ain't a whole lot of folks ready to see him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. People have heard about him all their life. People are wishing people a Merry Christmas and they don't even know what they're talking about. Amen. People are saying Merry Christmas to this and Merry Christmas to that. People are lifting liquor glasses right now as we speak and posting one another and saying Merry Christmas. He ain't about a bottle of booze and he ain't about a party and he ain't even about a tree and a bunch of lights. He ain't about a sleigh and he ain't about reindeer. He's about saving mankind from their sin. Amen. They ain't got a clue. They've heard about it. They know the Christmas story. They've watched the Charlie Brown Christmas story. Thank God they still air that. Is it Linus? Who reads it? It's Linus, ain't it? Linus stands up and reads that thing out of Luke chapter number 2. And isn't it amazing he reads the King James Bible? And after all these years, it's still King James. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. I like that. Amen. I believe that's Holy Ghost inspired. Amen. Praise the Lord, man. Thank God for it. But they've heard about it. They all have heard about it. But do they know him? Do they know him? Those shepherds, those wise men. Man, they had sense enough when they left to go another way. I mean, boy, there's so much in here. It's amazing. But I want to talk about what they saw in the manger. Who knows what a manger is? I just built a little barn at my house, and I got a manger that you hang on the wall, and you put hay down in it. It's just a place for animals to eat. It's a trough. That's all it is. Amen. That's where they put the Son of God. That shows you how humble he was. That shows you how far he lowered himself. They didn't have room. They didn't have room at the Hampton Inn. The Holiday Inn Express was full. There was no place for the Lord God Almighty to be brought into this world. So he went into a lowly stable and there was given birth and laid him in the trough where the animals did eat and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. He didn't have a onesie to put on. He didn't have on the little gown to wear home from the hospital. He didn't have baby pictures made and his footprints done and all the stuff we have in this modern age. No, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what that was? That was the rags they used to tie the burden down to the beast that carried the load. He started being burdened with man's sin from the day he got here. From the day he got here, he's wrapped with swaddling clothes. Let me tell you what they found. Let me tell you, go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I only got just about 4 verses of scripture. So don't get nervous about the length of the message. Did I tell you about that fella that visited here a couple weeks ago? He shook my hand at the door and he said, "You have renewed my faith." I thought, well, hallelujah. He said, "You have renewed my faith in the fact that Baptist preachers are long-winded." I said, "Well, thank you, I guess." I didn't know what to say to that, amen. Ephesians chapter number 2. Probably my favorite chapter in the entire Bible because it deals with me and what God did for me. But I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. That at that time ye were, say the word, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. It's talking about us guys, Gentiles. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having, say the next 2 words with me,
no hope.
no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope and without God in the world. Let me tell you what they found in the manger. They found hope for the hopeless. They found hope for the hopeless. You know why people put a gun to their brain and pull the trigger and blow their brains out? Do you know why they do that? Because they don't have any hope. They don't have. The Bible talks about being of most men or being of men most miserable, having no hope. There's so many people in this world that have no hope. Their only problem is they've never stopped to look what's laying in that manger. He is the hope of the world. He is the hope of mankind. He is the hope of you and he is the hope of me. He's the hope of our homes. He's the hope of our marriage. He's the hope of our children. He's the hope of our economy. He's the hope of our health. He's the hope of everything in our life. In Christ Jesus, there is hope. Amen. There is hope. Nobody will take their own life till they are without hope. Till they're without hope. There's no other answer. They looked in that manger and they found hope. They found hope. I am so glad that Jesus grafted that other vine in there and gave me hope. I'm glad it wasn't just to the Jew, Romans chapter number 1, but it was to the Gentile and to the Greek. Amen. I thank be unto God. I'm not a Jew, ain't got a Jewish bone in my body, but thank God I got the Holy Ghost in my heart. Somebody help me right there. Hey, when I was hopeless, I found hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That night I got saved, man. That night I went to Brother Jay's house and beat on his door. I was hopeless. I was hopeless. The only thing I knew to do was get to the man of God. I got to get to the man of God. I got to have help, man. I'm dying and I'm going to hell. I'll never forget as long as I live. It's been some 28, 29 years ago now. I'll never forget the words that was said. Brother Jay stepped to the door in the wee hours of the morning in his boxer drawers and a wife beater t-shirt. And he opened the door and he said, "Son, what's the matter?" I said, "Brother Jay, I'm going to hell." He said, "Not tonight, you ain't." I'll never forget those words as long. Oh, not tonight, you ain't, and not last night, and not tonight, and not tomorrow night. Thank God I ain't going to hell. Why? Because I found hope in what was laying in the manger. Hope in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I don't care what denomination you are, what stripe you are, what kind of Baptist you are, what kind of Methodist you are. Hey, it's all through the blood, brother. Amen. Hey, I don't care if you're a Catholic, if you come to Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is hope for the hopeless tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad you have hope? Brother Rusty sent me a text, I don't know, several days back, maybe a couple of weeks back, and I thought about bringing my phone in here and just reading it to you, but I wouldn't do that to him. But what he said in essence was, "I'm as low as I can go. I'm as low as I can go." What made him hang on? You know what that was? It was hope. Thank God we have hope. Amen. Let me say it again. Thank God we have hope. You know what I'm hoping for? That great appearing. Amen. That great appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to be like the wise men and I want to be like the shepherds. I'd love to be alive and remain and see the Lord in the clouds saying, "Come up hither." Amen. I'd love to. Hey, that's my hope tonight. But if I go by the way of the grave, it doesn't matter. Hey, I'll get there ahead of those who are still alive. Hey, I've got hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in my mind because of what he did, I'm going where he is. Amen. Thank God we have hope tonight. There's times I give up in people. There's times I give up in people. And I shouldn't do that. Man, I ought to have faith and I ought to just trust and I ought to just pray. But the more that I hear things people say and I hear things people are doing, people that used to sit in the pews of this church, and I hear what's going on in their life, and I'm, oh, dear God, man. I just wonder, is there any hope for them? But I'm glad there is hope for them. I'm glad they can still come back as long as they got breath in their body. They can still come back to God. They can come right back to where they got off. Hey, there's always hope for the child of God. Always hope. Amen. I hope there's nobody here without hope tonight. There's hope for the child of God. They looked in that manger. They looked in that manger, and they looked in that manger with great hope. They hung on what those angels said. He's here. He's here. There he is. That's the one you've been waiting on. Man, I met him that night on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, a week from last night. Next Tuesday night, I'll celebrate my spiritual birthday. My spiritual birthday. Man, there I was, just a little country boy, away from God, away from the things of God, living like I didn't know God or who he was. And that night under that pine tree, I found hope. Just as sure as the world, I was afraid if the sun came up on my life, I'd be in the grave and in hell. But thank God there was hope, even for somebody like me. Even for somebody like me, Brother Charles, there was hope. I didn't have nothing to offer. I wasn't like the wise men. I didn't have no gift to bring. I didn't have a thing to offer to him. I didn't have any good looks. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any education. I didn't have no fortune. I didn't have no talent. I had nothing but a bunch of sin to bring. And that's all I brought. That's all I brought to Calvary. I brought sin. I brought a foul mouth. I brought a wicked heart. That's all I had. I brought sinful flesh. You know what he said? That'll do.
Amen,
that'll do. He didn't have any use for any bit of that. But because he came,
amen,
I found hope. Those wise men, those shepherds, Mary and Joseph, found hope in that manger. The Catholic don't know it, but Mary needed him just like we do.
Yes,
Mary needed him just like we do. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5, the Bible said, by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. There was laying in the manger hope for the hopeless, but there was healing for the hurting. In that manger was healing for the hurting. Now, a lot of people follow the televangelist, and they take that verse out of context just a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong. I know for a fact God can heal our physical problems. We've watched him do it all over and over. Somebody said, do you believe in faith healing? I sure do.
Yeah, amen.
Well, some of y'all looking goofy at me.
Yeah.
You better know I believe it.
Amen.
I'm serving one who can heal all our diseases.
Amen.
Cancer, coma, bleeding on the brain.
Yes. Yes, sir.
We've seen it over and over and over. Not none of our doing. All him. He is a healer. He is the great balm of Gilead. Amen. I'm glad we're serving one who has healing for the hurting. But our disease, our greatest disease, is not cancer or leukemia or lupus or AIDS. Our greatest disease in America, in the known world, is the disease of sin. We are all stricken for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners at best. Had a guy, my little brother, got in an argument with a friend of his. And this friend of his claims to be saved and a Christian, and maybe he is, I'm not to judge, but he told my little brother, he said, I never sin. My little brother said, you just did. He said, what do you mean? He said, you just lied through your teeth. And the guy honestly believes he never sins, and you cannot convince him any other way. He'll argue with you till the cows come home that he is in sinless perfection. Right. One day, but not today. Not today. Our greatest disease is the disease of sin. Sin is the biggest problem we deal with. Amen. Would you agree with that? Amen. I deal with my own sin. You deal with your own sin. We all do.
Right.
Just like somebody mentioned, I forgot who it was a while ago, that song Levi sings talks about confessing the same sin that I did yesterday.
Amen.
Every one of us has confessed the same sin more than once.
Yeah. Amen.
If you hadn't, you ain't normal.
Right.
If you hadn't, you probably got a big S up under your shirt on your chest. You super Christian. But in all the years I've lived, Brother Freddie, I ain't met one yet. I ain't met no Christians with a cape that could fly and leap tall buildings in a single bound. We're all sinners. We've all got our faults and we've all got our failures, but I'm glad we serve a healer tonight.
Amen.
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 Brother Rusty talked about smoking and how he's been quit for how long? 2 months? That's 8 weeks, right? Oh, man. You know they say if you can stop a habit for 21 days, you can stop it forever. He didn't do that by himself. I remember we could barely sit through a service without going outside and getting a cigarette. Are you listening? That's why I don't think smoking's a sin. It is. God convicts you about it. Amen. It does harm to your body. It says something wrong with it. If it's an offense to somebody else, well. He healeth all our diseases. The greatest disease I had was the disease condemning me to hell. Under that pine tree that night, I got healed. You know what he did? He forgave me of every sin I've done in the past. You know where he put it? Under the blood. He forgave me of every sin I was doing. And he went ahead and handled every sin I was going to do. I still have to confess them and get right daily, but he took care of it all. Amen. He made the provision for every bit of it. There is nothing in our lives we can't get the victory over. Because Jesus has already paid the price. He's already went that extra mile for you. Our problem's accepting what he's done. There's not an addict in RU that couldn't get victory over whatever it is they're struggling with. Not one that couldn't get victory over whatever it is if they had just allowed the healer to step in and help. Amen. Have you ever prayed and asked God to take something from you? Have you ever done that? I mean, just sincerely said, God, I can't do this by myself. Would you take it from me? They found hope for the hopeless. They found healing for the hurting. If I could just tell you tonight what all I've seen in 20 years God heal, I've seen him heal broken homes. Marriages that there was no hope for. Husband's talking to a lawyer, wife's talking to a lawyer, husband living in one place, wife living in another, husband living in sin, wife living in sin, shacked up with a man over here, husband shacked up with a woman over there, kids all strung out in the middle. So much has went on, you think there's no way God can fix this.
That's right.
We forget who we're dealing with.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing our God cannot do.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I've seen him take a preacher. I'm talking about a preacher who got messed up in adultery, left his wife, left his church, married another woman. That's it, he's done. Back with his wife, remarried. I'm just telling you, God can. God can. There ain't nothing God cannot do. As far as I know, I don't know if they have service on Wednesday night. But as far as I know, if they have service on Wednesday night, Brother David Naylor's preaching up there in Virginia. Be honest with you, I had my doubts. I had my doubts. When I saw him laying in that bed, Brother Thomason, with a stroke of bilateral, is that what they call it? Bilateral stroke. I mean, brother, he was messed up, couldn't even speak, couldn't move his arm. I mean, buddy, he was like almost nearly a vegetable. Man, he's preaching the gospel. He'll be here next Tuesday night to baptize his daughter and his grandkid. Hallelujah, man. Now, there's a whole lot of preachers around the country says, oh, he's not qualified to preach. You're not qualified to tell him if you can. I'm sick of that crowd. Make me want to vomit. Amen? Who made you judge and jury? It wasn't this book right here, and it sure wasn't God. Amen? If that man wants to do something for God and serve God, I'm going to stand behind him and say, amen, brother. Amen. There's healing for the hurting. I'm glad God can take the worst situation that nobody else thinks there's hope for and turn that thing around. Brother Carl ain't here tonight, I don't reckon. Brother Carl's mama told me the other Sunday, she said, I never thought I'd see what I'm seeing. I had given up. It's bad when your own mama won't let you in the house. You see, we reach a point to where we've done all we know to do, and it's not enough. So we throw up our hands and we say, that's it, it just can't be done. But what we got to do is what Tabitha said, and put that child in the hand of God and say, God, we can't, but God, you can. God, we can't. It's out of my hand. I'm tired of preaching. I'm tired of nagging. I feel like all I'm doing is driving them further away. God, you're going to have to step in, and God, you're going to have to intervene. My own daddy called my mother not long before I got saved and said, if you don't do something, that boy is going to be in jail or dead. But I'm glad God had other means. You know what my little mother said? With tears rolling down her face, she said, Eddie, I've done all I know to do. She said, he's in God's hands. I'm glad my mama had sense enough just to back off a little bit and put me in the hand of God and say, God, you handle it. God, he's doing things he ought not to be doing. God, he's running up and down the road. God, he's doing this and he's doing that. And God, he's a grown man and I can't stop him, but God, you can.
Amen.
Hopeless. It's bad when your own daddy looks at you and said, hopeless. But I'm glad my father in heaven said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got a plan for that kid. That one that you say he's going to jail or the grave, I got other plans. I'm glad there was healing for the hurting. I'm glad there was hope for the helpless. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. We still doing all right tonight? Ain't you glad he came? Aren't you glad he came? I honestly believe he didn't have to. I believe with all my heart he didn't have to. I believe with all my heart in the garden where that sweat fell as great drops of blood, I believe he could have got out of that thing right there. I honestly believe he could have called those angels just like the scripture said, and they'd have put an end to his suffering. They'd have wiped out that whole Roman crowd. I believe he could have. But because he loved me, because he loved you, he gave us hope and he gave us healing.
Amen.
He gave us hope. I preached on scars a few months ago. Some of y'all got some scars.
Yes, sir.
And they're reminders of what God's done in your life. Every one of us walk through that door, we come in with baggage and we come in with a past.
Yes, sir.
But every time you look at one of them scars, whether it be physical or on your heart, you remember what God's done to bind up your wounds. You remember what God's done. Brother Freddie don't anymore, but he used to carry his old driver's license before he got saved, when his hair was way down to here and he played in a rock band and all that stuff, and he carried that around. And I don't think he carried it around for show. I think every time he saw that, I hope you did, he thought about what God did. He thought about what God did. First time he ever heard the gospel, he got saved. Now imagine every time he looked at that picture, he thought, my, Lord, I can't believe what you've done. Can't believe what you've done. God didn't have to come where he was. He wasn't going to church on a regular basis, wasn't raised in church. Somebody just opened up a Bible and shared the gospel and said, hey, there's healing. There's something better than what you're doing. There's something better than the way you're living. Are you interested? Amen. There's hope for the hopeless. There's healing for the hurting. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. The Bible said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to, say it with me, help in time of need. There's hope for the hopeless. There's healing for the hurting. And I'm glad there's help for the helpless. There's help for the helpless. I'll be honest with you, there's so much I can do, but that's as far as I can go. There's so much I can do, but that's as far as I can go. I remember Brother Anthony, Brother Freddie and I, and Brother Stacy Bullock. I remember Levi. I'm trying to remember who all went with us. We made several trips, Brother Charles. I remember standing around your bed. You didn't know we were in the world. Your head was the size of a watermelon. And we stood around your bed and we prayed. That's all we could do. That's all we could do. Even the people who had been to school and had the degrees on their wall, they didn't know what else to do. All they knew to do is poke a tube down your throat and pump air into your lungs. That's all they could do. But I'm glad there was one.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on. I'm glad there was one. We could stand around that bed and say, Lord, help. God help him. I prayed over and over and over, and I argued with God. I said, God, he is trying to do something for you. He is volunteering his time, working on the church building. God, he didn't deserve this. God, help him. There was help for the helpless. Wasn't nothing Anthony could do. His boy loves him with all his heart. Wasn't nothing his boy could do. Wasn't nothing his church could do. There was only one thing left at our disposal, and that was pray. And we entered that boldly, that throne room of grace, and we fasted and done without food, and we bombarded heaven. Why? Because it was beyond our strength. It was beyond our reach. It was beyond our knowledge, but it was never beyond our God. I believe God in heaven sat back and said, watch this. Over and over in this church alone. And don't think it just happens here. It happens all over. God continues to confound the wise. When man says there ain't no hope, God says, wait a minute. What about me? With me, how many things are possible? All things. He can bring that baby girl and set her right there between you and Stacy. You'll have to move that pocketbook. He can bring that baby right back. He can put her right back in the choir. Are y'all listening? I've seen him do it over and over and over and over and over. I'm not going to doubt that he can do it again. Why? Because when we need help, I'm glad we can cry with the psalmist, help, Lord. Amen. I'm glad I can enter that throne room of grace. Even when I don't feel worthy to walk in there. And normally I don't. I'm glad I can walk in there and find help. I'm glad I'm going there and find help and obtain mercy. Whoo, that's a big thing. We don't get help because we deserve it. We get help because he's merciful. Let me say that again. We don't get help. God, we come to God and I've done it. I did it for Brother Anthony. I've done it for myself. God, I don't deserve this. When my son was in a coma. Boy, you ought to heard how I talked to God. I'm ashamed. I said, God, I ain't done nothing but give my life to serve you. I've preached and I've traveled the country. I tried to tell God everything I did. Do you think I caught him by surprise? Do you think I even impressed him? But boy, that night I humbled myself and said, help God. God, I need your help. Lord, I'll try to serve you, but you're going to have to help me. God, I'll try to keep going, but you're going to have to help me. God, I can't promise you what I'm going to do if you take my son, but God, I'll try if you help me. God said, I'll do more than that. God said, he didn't tell me, but God was thinking, in the morning, you're going to find that baby awake. In about a week, you're going to find him walking out of the hospital fine. I'm glad he can help when it's helpless. I just honestly no more believe in a helpless situation. I really don't. Because I've seen God too many times walk into something that even me as the pastor had doubt and said, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. When Ashley was eat up with cancer, I had doubt. I thought, oh, Lord, she's just going to die. I'll never forget Brother Freddie and I were talking on the phone one day, and he said, just so you know, I got peace about it last night. I'll never forget that. And I thought, well, that's good for you. But I still had doubt. It wasn't until several days later, God convicted my heart and said, if he can believe, you can believe. And God gave me peace. And it wasn't too many weeks after that, too many months after that, we got the news, no more cancer. No more cancer. She had a harder time getting off of the pain medicine than she did the cancer itself. I'm glad God can help when we think it's helpless. You may be in a situation where you think there's no hope. But I'm glad we've got a helper tonight. The Lord is my helper. He helps me when I can't help myself. Amen. I've seen him take people who should have been kicked out of their home months and months and months and months ago. And God has extended and extended and extended and extended and extended. No reason under the sun they should still be living in their house. You can't tell me they ain't a God who helps his children. You can't tell me that. Poor old Brother Don, man, he's been in a bad, when he came here, Brother Don was in a bad way. I mean in a bad way. Man, you can't tell me God didn't send that man to help his little girl. All he was trying to do is sell a heater. But God sent him more than a sold heater. He sent him a child of God along the way, man. Just a good old Samaritan along the way to pick up somebody who was down on the side of the road and show him a little help. Thank God, man. Somebody said, so-and-so really helped me for Christmas. No, God helped you. God helped you. Don't give all the glory to that person. Don't thank God for Kathy. Is that her name? Thank God for Kathy at the congressman's office. Thank God for that lady. Do you think for one second it was a coincidence that's who you got? Well, it just so happens. No, it didn't just so happen. You needed some help. You got in your bedroom and you prayed, God, I can't go on. I can't do this anymore. God, you got to do something. All along, God had that little lady prepared and planned. God knew what he was doing. God knows. We try to tell God how he needs to help us. I do. And you know what I've learned? If he had done it the way I'd expected, it'd have been a whole lot less than what I got. Am I right about it? It'd have been a whole... If God had just done what I asked, but how many times has he done what you asked, but yet more? Went above and beyond. Did you ever dream a congressman was going to get out of bed, come in 2 days on their day off, and work on your behalf, and they don't even know who you are? You can't tell me God didn't do that. God put it in their hearts. Lady ain't never met their kids. Will you bring them kids to my office? Let me meet them. Huh. That was the Lord saying they need a little help. And I believe I can help. God sets up pieces on a checkerboard, man. It beats all I ever seen. We think we got it all figured out and all this. You ever played checkers with somebody who's really good? My wife beat the britches off anybody in this place. I'm telling you, bud, you cannot beat her. She can play some checkers. And I look at that board and I think I'm looking at every scenario. I got this. And that's the way we do with God. We look at the pieces in our life and we think, I see what's going to happen. We're going here and we're going there and we're going here and we're going there. And all of a sudden, I'm nowhere. My wife picks up them checkers and I always make her be the black one. She picks up them checkers and goes, and she got a stack of my checkers over about that big. Wait a minute, do that again. I never saw it like that. Isn't that how God does? We look back on what God's done, we go, whoa, I didn't plan on that. But it sure is good. I didn't think it was going to happen that way. But it sure is good. I've got to the place where I just say, God, you know what to do. You don't need my input. You don't need my help. It's me who needs your help. Do it any way you want. And I'll accept it. Amen. There's hope for the hopeless. There's healing for the hurting. There's help for the helpless. And let me give you this when I'm done. I just couldn't leave it out. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Now remember, we read in Ephesians chapter number 2 that we were aliens. We were outcast. We had no place in the body of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," that's talking about our body, "were dissolved," we, I love that word we. You know who that means? That means me. And that means you if you're saved. "We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." In the manger, they found hope for the hopeless. They found healing for the hurting. They found help for the helpless. But lastly, they found a home for the homeless. Yeah. They found a home for the homeless. You know what I found in Jesus? I found a home. I found a home. You know what every little child in the orphanage is praying tonight? They're praying for a new daddy. They're praying for a new mom. They're praying somebody will see their little picture and say, I want that kid. You know what those kids are afraid of? Birthdays. Because the older they get, the less anybody wants them. They want babies, they want infants, even toddlers. But nobody wants them big ones. I'm glad I'm serving one. Who will take them 8 or 80. And I'm sure glad he'll take them 19 because that's how old I was. Are you listening to me tonight? I found a home in him. That night I met him under Brother Jay's, had an old pine tree in Brother Jay's yard. We had an adoption hearing. And I received the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba Father. And you know what happened all of a sudden? His home became my home. Just as sure as heaven is the home of God tonight, it's where I'll dwell forever and ever and ever. I have a home beyond the blue. Amen? Thank God there's a home for the homeless. Aren't you glad he came? Aren't you glad he came? He left glory and came all the way to the globe. He went from there to Gethsemane, from there to Gabbatha, from there to Golgotha, from there to the grave, and from there back to glory. Why? So that you and I can be where he is. You can read John chapter number 14. You can read 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going. We're going. We have a home. Thank God. Let's stand our feet tonight. I'm glad to us Christmas is more than a party and a family get together. It's a Savior. I'm glad I know him tonight. Miss Janice, you still back here? Will you come play? Hand that baby off. Normally on Wednesday night, we don't have an altar call. We just all come to the altar and get us a prayer sheet. I don't know, I just felt like maybe somebody need to come tonight. Maybe somebody needs some hope. You're about to the place of giving up. Why don't you come tell him tonight, I need some hope. Maybe somebody's gone as far as you can, you need some help. Come tell him you need some help. Maybe some healing. I don't know, y'all look like you're all getting along, but you and your wife may have fought all the way here. Your marriage may be in trouble. Maybe it needs healing. Why don't you come tell Jesus you need some healing in your heart, in your home, in your family. Maybe with a wayward child or a loved one, a family member that you're not getting along with and don't think it'll ever be fixed. Why don't you ask God to help? Why don't you ask God to help? Maybe you just want to come thank him that there's a home waiting on you. When we leave this life, man, heaven's our home. Sister Janice, if you'd sing a verse, if you got one on your heart, let's just mind the Lord tonight.